For those of you visiting today, we believe in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did while he walked this earth, he'll still do today. You know, what do you think God would do for you if you worshiped God in your quiet time? Just say 2 straight hours. You say, man, that's a long time. You'll sit there and watch a football game for longer than 2 hours. And I'm not knocking you. I'm just, listen to me closely. I know what God wants to do. I know what he can do. I know what he will do. And please, if you mean business with him, come on, he'll mean business with you. The Bible says, Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So if you're here today and you think your situation's impossible, just turn it over to him. Turn it over to him. And I'll tell you what, I've been working on this sermon all week and burning some midnight oil because I just want to know when I stand up here that I have the right word for the right moment. And I'm calling this message Fruit Bearers. Amen? Fruit Bearers. We are all called to bear fruit, aren't we? Thank you for that one yes. Are we called to bear fruit? Come on, thank you. Come on. Are you away? Oh, I know what it is. You lost an hour of sleep. I should have brought a big old one of them big old squirt guns. And if I saw one of his, shoo, right? Well, I'll tell you what, that would wake us up real quick. But the Bible talks a lot about fruit. And Jesus used fruit as an example in a lot of his parables and a lot of his teachings. And fruit gives identity to the tree that's bearing it. Let me say that again. Fruit gives identity to the tree that's bearing it. A tree is identified by the fruit it bears. You go up to an apple tree and you see a big old apple on there, well, you know it's an apple tree. Obviously, you go up and you see pear on a pear tree, you know it's a pear tree. Now, in the wintertime, it's hard to tell unless you really know trees. But when we was growing up, we lived next to an apple orchard, and an old coal miner named Andy Krupa opened it, and man, I mean, we'd have apple battles, man. We'd be throwing it. I mean, I'll tell you what, we had a lot of fun. But, you know, during the winter months, all the apple trees looked the same. But when spring and summer came, you could see the golden delicious apples on one tree, and you could see the red delicious apples on the other tree. And those trees that had the beautiful apples, ripe apples, we'd just sit up there and just eat and eat and eat. Well, those trees that had those good apples were healthy trees. Amen? They were productive, very healthy, very productive. But then there were also some trees that were scrawny looking, which had small and even rotten apples on them. Some of you saw that, which didn't produce anything but food for worms and bugs. They were basically just taking up the soil. That's about what they were doing. Amen? Good trees and bad trees. And they were all known by their fruit. And we're going to go get somewhere here. Because Jesus said that's the way people are. If you've ever pastored as long as I have, brother, you'll find that out real quick. But I want to read Luke chapter 6 and verse 43 through 45. Terry, I think there's just a slight buzz up here. I'm not sure. Just a slight one. Thank you. Now I can preach. Hallelujah. Amen. But look what he said here. And I love Jesus and I love the parables. He said, a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That's pretty common sense, isn't it? A good tree can't bring corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree can't bring good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns, men don't gather figs on thorns. Thorns don't grow figs. Of a bramble bush, they don't gather grapes. No, grapes grow on grapevines. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Now, that's pretty good stuff here, and it's very plain. I love Jesus. I love the way Jesus dealt with people. He told them the way it was, And the ones that got upset and argued, blah, 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 blah. But listen, the ones that listened and did what he said got blessed. And God puts every passage of scripture in here for our admonition, for our learning. So if our tree is starting to bear a little bit bad fruit, we need to get back in there and have it produce. And we're going to get into that in a minute. He said, you can locate what kind of tree it is by what you hear them say. Amen. And then he goes on to verse 46, says, why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? Now, Ephesians 4 and 29, look what Paul says here. Because Jesus talked about good fruit and corrupt fruit, good trees and corrupt trees. Now, this is how you can tell if you have a corrupt tree. And I know nobody here it does, but in case you know somebody, all right? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And my question to everyone in the sanctuary today and those watching online, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Boy, did it get quiet. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Amen? Because Jesus said a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit, a corrupt tree doesn't bring forth good fruit, and every tree is known by its fruit. And we are all called to be witnesses to a hurting and dying world. We are referred to as trees that are supposed to be bearing good fruit so the world can see Christ in us. Come on. So the world can see Christ in us. And we're going to get into some good stuff here. Amen. We're all called to be witnesses. Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to show you this message is more important and more serious than you think. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, it's recorded in verse 33. Can't get no plainer than this. Either make the tree good and his fruit good. Now you notice here he uses personal pronouns to relate to people. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now what Jesus is saying here is, listen, he either wants us to live for him or don't live for him. Because when you're out in society and you're out in the public and people know you and you say, oh man, I'm a Christian, and then all of a sudden they hear all this corrupt stuff, it's doing God more harm than it is. Hello, come on. You know, as a pastor, and I've been in the ministry 40-some years, pastoring over 25. It blesses me when I'm talking to someone that don't come here. And they say, so-and-so goes to your church? I said, yeah, he does, or she does, or they do. Oh, man, those people have integrity. They're some of the best people that I... And I'm going like, yeah. I said, we got a whole church full of people like that. But now every once in a while, maybe every blue moon, didn't mean to look at you, Chuck. I'm, you're my support down. You're my support. He said he'll take it. He'll take it on a chin for everybody, right, Chuck? You're a big boy. Every once in a while I said, they go to church. That person goes to church. I go, yeah, they go to my church. Well, I never even knew they were saved. Let's go on here. That didn't go over very good. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, and else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Now listen, this isn't a bashing message. This is a message to help you. Because one thing about God, every one of us in our past have borne the wrong fruit. Come on. Everyone, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But if you look back on these messages we've been preaching from the beginning of the year, God is setting us up to have the best year we've ever had in the history of our lives. Come on. In the history of this church. God's setting us up for that. Amen. He uses personal pronouns referring to the trees. And you know the good thing about God, and I love this, he's giving us an option here. It's an opportunity for us to change. And Jesus even explains to us why some trees produce good fruit and why others do not. He wants to give us every opportunity to change. And I love the parables that Jesus taught. I want to look at the parable of the sower here. Wasn't that good worship this morning? Come on, give the Lord a hand. I mean, man, I could get lost in that worship. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 9, we've all heard this parable. Hearken, he said, listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. We know the trees must have good roots to produce good fruit. And some fell on the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it didn't yield any fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, 60, and some 100-fold. And then he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He wants us to know what he was talking about. And then, starting in verse 14, he explains to us what he's talking about. The sower sows the word. I'm the sower this morning sowing the word. Amen? I'm giving you the word of God. He said, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. They listen to it, they come. But when they have heard, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see, your heart is talking about the ground here. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground or a stony heart, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Jeff. And have no root in themselves, and they endure for a little while. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world come in, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Oh, but here's everybody in church alive right here. This is verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground. This is good ground. Such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And there Jesus explains to us why some trees develop good fruit and why some trees don't. He reveals exactly that. Verse 17, he said, they have no root in themselves. They don't hang around long enough. They don't stick with the word long enough to get that word rooted and grounded in their hearts. Amen? That's what he said. Because listen, the roots is what provides nourishment for the tree. Everybody knows that. You don't have to be a gardener to realize that roots are what provide nourishment for the trees. The Word of God, listen closely, the Word of God is where we get our spiritual nourishment from. Come on. The Word of God is where we get our spiritual nourishment from. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Look what it says here. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. Nourished up. God wants to nourish every one of us up, come on, in the word of God and in faith, come on, so we'll produce good fruit, and not only produce good fruit, listen to me a minute, but we'll walk in a place that we've never walked in before. It can be done. God is wanting to move. He's wanting to bless us. He's wanting to nourish us up. But let me just say this morning. You'll never bear the right kind of fruit without first dealing with the root. You will never bear the right kind of fruit without first dealing with the root. And you will never know how deep-rooted you are in Christ until you go through the storms of life. You know what the test is to see if you're really rooted? When you go through the hardest times of your life and you still bear fruit. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah said it, and then also Psalm Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. In other words, the man or woman who's grounded in the Word of God. For he shall be as a tree, here we go, trees again, planted by the waters, that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Amen? In other words, no matter what happens, when your roots are deep and you're nourished up with the Word of God and you're rooted in Him and your tree is producing good fruit, listen, your fruit will not fall off during the toughest times of your life. Psalm said it like this in Psalm chapter 1 in the first three verses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and his, listen here, he does meditate when? Day and night. In the word of God, he chews on it, he reads it, he studies it, he gets rooted in the word of God, and then what? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. Talking about trees here today. Amen? Talking about trees here. This is really, really good stuff here. And both of these scriptures speak in reference to the blessed person who is like a tree planted by the waters. Psalm says, rivers of water. Amen. Do you know that water is a type of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, he that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his heart shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Amen. And we need to get our roots deep enough and spend enough time in God's Word and act upon what God's Word says. Listen to me a minute. So we can get our root system filled and nourished by the living waters of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, are you going to help me out just a little bit this morning? When Jesus had an encounter with a Samaritan woman at the well, he was talking, he said, You don't know who you worship. The true worshipers is going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And anyways, she was giving him some water there at the well. In John chapter 4 and verse 14, look what Jesus told her. He said, whosoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Huh? Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst again. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he told her, the water that you're going to give me out of that well, I'm going to need some more. I'm going to thirst again. He said, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if your root system isn't right today and your tree isn't bearing good fruit, listen to me a minute. We're going to show you how to take care of that. This is a good sermon today, whether you believe it or not. Anybody that grows trees or grows a garden knows that water comes through the roots of the tree to give life to the fruit. That's why we water, you know? It's a proven scientific fact that on a fruit tree, the fruit gets its nourishment and water primarily from the root system. That's what it is. And that's where the tree absorbs nutrients and water from the soil, which travels up the trunk and branches to reach the developing fruit. Essentially, the entire tree, including the fruit, relies on the root system for sustenance. Come on. If you don't believe me, just cut the roots off your tree. My wife had some raised panel gardens, and we had some extra plants, and we didn't have so I just planted them in a big, like, tub. And there wasn't enough room for the root system to really develop. So, but they looked healthy, but towards the end of the year, they weren't developing because of the root system. So I pulled those trees, I just pulled the plants out and just laid them on top of the ground there. And in about 3 or 4 days, they were all shriveled up. Why? Because I pulled them out by the roots. Some of you, some of your fruit has been shriveled up because, listen to me a minute, you haven't been nourished enough in your root system with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, but that's going to change today. Come on. You are going to leave here different. You're going to leave here different. I promise you, if you will. So getting back to Matthew 12:33, if you want to put that back up there again for me. It won't take long for her to find it. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. Why? Because the tree is known by his fruit. Amen. Amen. We as people of God need to make our tree good and our fruit good. And we do that by getting rooted and grounded in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, realizing, listen closely, that this can only be done through him. Come on. It can only be done through him. It can only be done through him. There's no other way. People say, I've tried to change and I've tried to change, because you're doing it on your own, and God never designed you to do it on your own. He designed you to do it through him. Come on. You need to stay hooked up with him. And Jesus said this in John chapter 15 in the first 8 verses, and I love this passage of scripture. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now I love this next verse here. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Get that straight today. You will never have the kind of fruit in your life like God intended until you stay hooked up with Jesus. Come on. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You have to do it his way. I like what Shambach used to say. This ain't no Burger King religion. You can't have it your way. You want Bible results? You got to do what the Bible says. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, makes it plain, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. I like that. Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, pride says I can do it on my own. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I'm going to tell you something. Without Jesus, you couldn't have got out of bed this morning. Come on. Without Jesus, you can't go to work every day. Without Jesus, you can't even function. So don't ever think it's you and you're all that. And come on now. I believe the theme song in hell is, I did it my way. I believe that. I really do. Amen. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he said, without me, you can't do one thing. Well, I put myself through school and blah. Who do you think give you the knowledge, come on, to even learn? Come on, huh? The Bible says it's God that gives us the ability to obtain wealth that we may establish his covenant in the earth. Every good and perfect gift comes. If you have any brains at all, they came from God. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. You can't do anything without him. He made it just plain and simple. And then he said, if a man doesn't abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Now, I've quoted John 15:7 for 40 years. I love this passage of scripture. If you abide in me, this is so good. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. If you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The title of this message is called Fruit Bearers. Now, I was taking a shower this morning, and I go to bed preaching. I wake up preaching. And here's what I thought about. Jesus said, if you abide in me and stay hooked up to the vine, he said you're going to produce much fruit. Now, and this is one reason that we need to make our tree good instead of corrupt. Listen to this. When you have a good tree and you have a good root system, do you know who really benefits from that? The fruit. The fruit. I love eating a healthy piece, a big old orange. I can taste it now. But now listen to this. If we adjust and repair and get our root system right and make our tree good, we're going to stay healthy in our bodies just like that fruit. Give the Lord a hand. There's a healing process that will take place. I don't brag about this. I'll be 68. About every 10 years or so, my birthday falls on Father's Day. It falls on the Father's Day picnic. Praise the Lord. Remember that now. Just kidding, but it's true. But I'll be 68 years old. Now listen to this. I walk in divine health. I walk in divine healing. And I'm not bragging to you about it. Please, don't give me a... If God will do that for me, he'll do that for you. But one reason he does, I keep myself attached to the vine. Come on. I keep myself attached to the vine. And if something attacks my body, the first thing I do, I want to check my heart out. First thing I do, I want to make sure I'm not living in sin. I want to make sure somewhere down the line that I didn't cut myself off of that vine. Amen. When my body starts to feel rotten or something like that, I want to make sure that I never cut myself off of the vine. That maybe I said something stupid or acted stupid or said something bad to my wife, which that never happens, right? So praise God for that. She's looking at me, what? Paul and Sherry won the dating game contest last night. I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, they answer questions. And we learned a lot about these couples last night when, you know, they asked the husband or the wife, what will your wife say is your favorite this? Or what will your husband say? What was the first thing you bought them? What's the first thing you ate? Where'd you come up with that? What's the first thing you ate when you took your wife out for the first date? How are we supposed to remember that? I wasn't even sober. How am I supposed to? It's the truth. I was an airborne soldier. The first thing, and I wasn't saved. Get that straight now for some of you. First thing we did when we got off base, man, we hit the clubs. That's what you did. During the day, you trained hard. You fought your behind end off. You did this. You did that. But in the evening, so she asked a lot of questions that wasn't fair, you know. They haven't been married as long as we have. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm still keeping myself attached to that vine so that fruit will be good. Come on, help me out a little bit. But is it making sense what I'm telling you this morning? Amen. He said back in here, and this is so good. You know what he said here? He said that... if it bears fruit, back in verse 2, I just thought about this. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. You ever purge a tree? Have you ever pruned a tree? Pruning or purging a fruit tree helps it to produce more fruit. Amen? It makes the tree healthier. I don't know about you, but every one of us need to be healthier, spiritually speaking. Come on, that's what this is about. Come on, help, come on. Pruning the tree helps with growth, fruit quality, and tree health. I want my tree to be healthy. Gardeners say when pruning, remember the 3 D's. Remove anything that's dead, damaged, or diseased. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Come on. Remove anything that's dead, damaged, or diseased. Amen. And you know, if you don't do anything, all of a sudden, just by living in the world and just by going to work and being around, we'll start out, it'll rub off on you. there's a certain coal miner that he's not here today. And when he does come, if he's off on Sunday, he comes. I've known him for years and years and years and years, and I baptized him and all of his family and every one of them. And one of the, every time he comes here, he comes down to the altar, said, "Pastor Jeff, I want prayer to be a better witness than mine." He said, "Man, I feel so guilty." He said, "Because last time we prayed, it lasted for a little while, and all of a sudden I found myself acting like the guys and talking like the guys and cussing like the guy." Praise God. I mean, God can use a guy like that. Come on, help us out just a little bit. We all need this. In other words, he's saying, "I want to be purged." And even good branches on trees, they're cut back to allow proper growth for more fruit to grow. The people that really know how to do gardening and really know how to raise trees, they cut back the branches that are producing fruit. They cut them back so far close to the trunk where those branches will go up stronger and have the ability to grow more and productive and healthier fruit. It's just and some of you gardeners understand that. You ever sucker tomatoes? Anybody ever sucker tomatoes? Okay, well, we'll talk about that later then. My dad took pride in his tomatoes, and every summer he would go out and he would say, "Come on, we're going to sucker these." I said, "What are you talking about?" And where the branch comes up on a tomato, there's a little branch in between, and all that branch does is suck some of the nutrients out of the tomato plants. So he showed me how to sucker them, so them suckers would stop drawing the nutrients out of the tomatoes. And man, every year he ended up with some of the biggest, ripest, juiciest tomatoes. I'm getting hungry. Shut up, Jeff. The enemy is good attaching itself to parts of our life, come on, to draw the nourishment out of us. That's why we're here today. Come on. That's why we're here today. He said, after we're purged or pruned, verse 3 says, now we're clean through the spoken word. I am the vine, he said, you're the branches, you abide in me, I will help you to produce much fruit, and without me, you can't do anything. And God is glorified. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The Word of God is our fertilizer. It's watered by the Holy Spirit that gives us the proper spiritual nutrition to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And Paul tells us exactly what the fruit of the Spirit is. And you should at least have one of these operating or evidenced in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the main thing. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. That's the ability to put up with folks. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So some of these fruits of the Spirit ought to be evident in the life of every believer. Amen? He said, we'll know what kind of tree we are by our fruit. And this is the kind of fruit that people should be seeing growing on our trees. A good tree is a true disciple of Christ who is known by its good fruit. And it's so imperative, listen closely, that we bear good fruit. Because listen closely, the day's coming where God's going to wrap this thing up. And all those trees and branches that aren't bearing fruit, he's going to cut them down. Amen? I said he's going to cut them down. I'm not saying that to scare you. That's just what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, he said this. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which doesn't bring good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Chapter 15 and verse 13 basically said this. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Amen? Help me. Are you learning? Is this okay today? Come on, help me out just a little bit. I want to hear about healing. This message right here will get you healed quicker than anything. This message right here will keep you blessed more than anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know it's possible? It's possible for God right now to grow a new kidney in your body, a new liver in your body, a new heart in your body. It's possible for him. It's no more hard for God to put a new lung in your body or make the lung that you have breathe properly than it is to heal a runny nose. Amen. But we got to stay hooked up to him. Come on. We've got to believe that. Come on, this is for our benefit. And I know what I'm talking about. This year is going, listen, there's going to be such a strong, there's going to be such a strong anointing in this church this year that people's going to walk into this place and sit down. And when we start worshiping, God's going to heal them. They're going to feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit come on them, and they're going to get delivered from all those false things that the devil has given them. Come on. Like antidepressants and all this medication that has all these horrible side effects. They glorify all this, all the commercials, they're glorifying all this medication. And this, they get this lady dancing, and oh, you know, the little pill that helps me, the little pill. And looking at her, it looks like it'd take three little pills, but you know. But listen, I'm just kidding. But then look at the side effects. If you feel like committing suicide, call your doctor. You can't even see the doctor during the day, let alone on a weekend. You go to the emergency room, you're sitting in there dying all day. I was blessed. What was that, Tuesday, Diane? You just bless me. I was taking someone to the hospital on a visit. And on the way over, someone calls. And, Pastor Jeff, my grandpap's up in ICU. He's dying. I'm not sure if he's saved. I've been worried about his salvation all these years. And I said, listen, you ain't going to believe this. I'm going through the tunnel right now. I said, give me his room number. And then I'm pulling in the hospital, and Diane called me. Pastor Jeff, I'm in the emergency room at Medical Park. I said, I'm here. You talk about divine appointments. Honestly, I mean, this is a blessing. So I dropped someone off where they're supposed to decide, the backside where they were supposed to go have an appointment. Went around the front, found a parking place. Went up where this certain person's grandpa was. Walked in the room. His wife was there. I told him, oh, yeah, I know who you are now. And thank God she walked out and went down the hall to sit with some of the members in the waiting room. And I got to lead this man to the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, nobody wants to go to hell, right? And his family's been witnessing to him, and he goes, oh, I remember you, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and all this stuff. And I asked him, I said, are you ready to meet him? He was so honest, no. And he said, I don't want to meet the devil either. And I said, you don't have to. And man, I took his hand, and just such a serious, serious salvation, just so real. And now when he slips off, hallelujah, he'll slip right into glory. Come on, he will slip right into glory. And I got to go down and visit Diane, and she's fine. I think all that was stress related, and they thought they were going to have to put her in her room and all this stuff. But she didn't have to. She went home, and I'm telling you, God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I had people tell me as I was going in, you don't want to go back there. You don't. I said, why not? You'll probably get sick. I said, I won't get sick. I had several people. You don't want to go back there. It's full of sick people. I said, that's where I want to be. Praise God. In a room full of sick people in the name of Jesus so we can pray for them. And that sickness cannot live in my body because I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm attached to the right branch. My roots are too deep. Come on. My roots have been... Are you listening to what I'm telling you today? Come on now. This is good eating. This is better than the meal you're going to have after church. I got to hang around with Dustin. I found out he eats steak 3 times a week. Is that what you told you? That's what them rich folks do. They eat steak. Us poor folk, we only get it once in a while. See, so we. No, they're blessed. We have a church full of blessed people here. We have a church full of blessed people. Amen. Do what it takes to get our tree producing fruit. Can I go a little longer? Yes, we can. Thank you. One thing I love about our Heavenly Father, He never gives up on us. Come on, we all make mistakes. We all produce rotten fruit at times, don't we? We all do. We all do. This message is for me. But here's the thing. He's always giving us a chance to change. We need to start from the roots up. Because you'll never have the right kind of fruit without first dealing with the roots. You ever hear somebody say, I need to get to the root of the problem? Well, that's what we're doing today. We're getting to the root of the problem. Now, I'm going to read another parable because I love this parable here. And I spent a lot of time on this message for you and for me. So I want to read this, what Jesus said in Luke, the 13th chapter, and I'm in the 18th chapter, in verses 6 through 9. And He spoke a parable. Now, this is so good. Stay awake. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now, this man had a gardener to keep his vineyard. It was a rather large vineyard. And he came and sought fruit from it, to this fig tree. He came at the proper time when there should have been fruit on it. There wasn't no fruit on it. He didn't find any. So he said to the dresser of his vineyard, or the gardener, listen, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this tree, and I don't find any. This is a third time. I want you to cut it down. Why is it even taking up the soil? That's what he said. The gardener said, Lord, let it alone this year, please. Give me a chance to dig around it and dung it. Dung is fertilizer. Dung is poop, actually. Well, that's what it is. It's poop. Look it up. And if it bears fruit, well. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then after that, we'll cut it down. What a story here. He said, for the past 3 years, this tree has not been productive. It hasn't produced any fruit. Why should it even take up the soil? Cut it down. But the gardener said, give me another year. He said, give it another chance. This year is going to be different. He said, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to dig it up the ground, the hard ground that has been hardened for the past 3 years of its life. I'm going to fertilize it and water it. And if it bears fruit, then we'll save it. And if not, then you can cut it down. Let me just say this. The past several years of your life might have been like this fig tree's. Might not have been producing anything. You might have gone through trials and tribulations, and it seems like you take one step forward and three steps backwards, or some of you watching online right now, that your life has been in a shambles. You've cried out to God. It doesn't seem like anything's going to work. But you need to make up your mind this morning, and you can, that things are going to be different this year. Come on. And you are going to make the changes needed in your life. You are going to put yourself in a position where God can bless you. And God can ripen you and give you a healthy life again. Amen. You need to get your shovel out like this guy was doing. And start digging deeper into the Word of God. And allow the Holy Spirit, listen to me, to start to put life back into your root system. So you'll start to bear fruit again like God has created you to do. And can I say this without offending someone, either watching by live stream or sitting here? Stop being lazy concerning the things of God. Stop being lazy concerning the things of God. This year, honestly, I'm telling you what God's saying. It can be the best year of your life. If you roll up your sleeves, knock the dust off your shovel, and loosen up the hard ground of your heart, and dig deeper into the things of God like you never have before. Come on, help me out just a little bit. God put Adam out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. He was first put in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He had to work. Genesis 3:19, he said, in the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread till you return to the ground that I've taken you out of. That is called work. I know that the liberals and the socialists don't like to hear this thing called work. They want you to work and then take what you have and put it in their account. That's what's wrong with America. Laziness. Laziness in our nation and laziness in the church. Do you know that God put everything that mankind needs in the earth? Think about that for a minute. He put coal in the earth. He put oil and gas in the earth. He put silver and gold in the earth. He put it where he could keep it away from lazy people. Think about it. It's true. Huh? He put it where he could keep it away from people who are not willing to dig. Or drill, and I say drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill. But we might mess up the tsetse fly. Or there's a certain frog. Unbelievable. Laziness is a major problem in our nation and a major problem in the church. Am I right or wrong? Help me out just a little bit this morning. The wisest man that ever walked this planet other than Jesus was Solomon. And he wrote about it a bunch, but I just want to show you just a couple of passages of scripture here, because I believe after today, some of you are going to get off your hind ends, knock the dust off your shovel, start digging deeper in the things of God, and God's going to heal you and bless you, come on, you like you've never been blessed before. Proverbs 13 and 4. The soul of the sluggard desires and wants something, but he doesn't have anything. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Come on. Come on, that's not talking about belly fat. That's talking about prosperity fat. The one who wants to work and honor God will have everything, not only everything that they need, but God will give them the desires of their heart. 14 and 23, look what he said here. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to penury. And that word penury means extreme poverty. There's profit in labor, but all the people that do is talk, 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 talk and never work, they're going to live in extreme poverty. And we can see that in our nation today. Look at the laziness that's been going on in the United States government. Come on. Well, people getting paid from our tax dollars to stay home and do nothing. Praise God, that's about to change. Come on. I said that's about to change. Yeah, but look at all the people that are losing their jobs and all this other stuff. I'm going to tell you this. If they serve God and work hard, God will still continue to bless them with a better job. Come on. In a better position. Amen. Work is good. Work is a good thing. You know what it's called? Capitalism, praise God. It took a lot of work to start with an old nasty school out on this hill in a busted up parking lot to get where we're at today. But come on, give the Lord a hand. Hard work in God and sweat and faith and good people backing it up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24. This is the best move you're going to get today. 30 through 34. And then I'm going to read this in the Amplified because I like the Amplified. Look what it says. I went by the field of the slothful or the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles covered the face of it and the stone wall was broken down. You ever see an old house like that, an old farm that nobody had been there for years? And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. He said, I learned something from looking at this. He said, a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands, so shall your poverty come on you as one that travails and your want as an armed man. Let me read this. This is so good today. Let me read this out of the Amplified. I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of the man lacking understanding and common sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, and nettles covered its surface, and its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw this, I considered it well. I looked and received instruction. I learned something from this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little laziness, a little folding of the hands to rest and daydream and do nothing. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Give the Lord a hand. That's not going to happen to anybody in this church. Come on. Not going to happen to anyone in this church. And I want to read Hebrews. We're going to close in a few moments and dismiss you. And if you'll leave quietly, the altar is going to be open for anybody that needs prayer. I don't care how serious it may be. Listen, this is what we're here for. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. We desire, because I want to show you the New and the Old Testament. This is Paul talking to the Hebrews church here. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you be not slothful. That word slothful means lazy. There was lazy people in the church back then, and there's lazy people in the church today. That's why these letters are written. Amen? And don't feel bad if you're lazy. Ask God to put a pep in your step. Come on. Yeah, but I'm just so tired all the time, and I just don't feel like doing anything. Get in the Word of God. Get off the couch and get out there and do something. Come on, do something. Start somewhere. Unless you just want to lay there and die, you don't want to do that. That's no kind of life to live. That you don't be slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. And I want to give you one more passage of scripture here because, man, this is so good. Are you getting anything out of this today? Help me out just a little bit. Amen. You're going to fix your trees. You're going to let your trees, you know, be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and refreshed. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm in Timothy, and we're going to find it here. Here we go. I know she's got it written there. But look what this says right here. This is just good stuff here. Verses 10 through 12. For even, are we in 2 Thessalonians 3? Why is my Bible just keeps turning to Timothy by itself? 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know what it says? This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, blasphemous. And it goes on and on. So in your quiet time this week, would you read that? And you'll find out exactly what's going on in this world today. Amen? Here we go. We got it now. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. It was a command to the church. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. Come on, help me out just a little bit. I can understand if you're not able to work, but if you're able to work, get a job and work. And you'd be surprised the people that's been riding the system for years and years and years. I said this before, it's something I'll never forget. Had an altar call one time for healing, and a guy come down, was in so much pain. He said, oh, he says, I need you to pray. I've got pain. I said, you mean you want God to heal your back? He goes, no, I don't want him to heal me. I'm on workers' comp. I don't want to lose my workers' comp. Sorry, Charlie. It'd be so easy to get in that rut. And our government has made it so easy for that, haven't they? But thank God things are going to change. Come on. And the church is going to stop being lazy. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you are disorderly. You're not even working at all, but are all busy bodies. You know what a busy body is? Someone that has their nose in everybody else's business. They won't work, praise God, but they'll sit on that computer and they'll know everybody's business. Don't shout me down, it's true. Now them that are such we command and exhort, see, this is an exhortation, that by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with all quietness they work and eat their own bread. They work, if they're able, instead of mooching from the government. or anybody. Come on, help me. Am I telling the truth this morning? Come on. God is so good. These were written to church folks. Amen. Thank God we've been given the ability to change. Don't just take up soil, dig into the soil, fertilize the soil, and use it to bear fruit. Come on, give me a hand right now. Some people might be different. Instead of not bearing fruit at all, they've been bearing rotten fruit or things happen in their life. But man, is it a good day to change, isn't it? What a good day. Spring is here when the buds start coming on the trees and the grass starts getting green. And you got to get the old lawnmowers out and the weed eaters out. And we have the divine ability to change if we really want to. Now, let me just say this, and I want to, this is very, very important. Jesus took all your corrupt fruit and your corrupt tree and nailed it to a different tree called the cross. Help me out a little bit here. 1 Peter 2:24. Look what it says here. Who in his own self, he did it himself, bear our sins, our rotten fruit, everything in his own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Where did he take him? Where did he take your rot? In his own body, nailed it to a tree. A tree. That's so good. You could say he took corrupt fruit in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should produce healthy fruit. By whose stripes you were healed. So now we can get rid of those old branches in our life that's held us back from producing good fruit. And come on, and we can have a good life in Christ. Come on, help me out just a little bit. That's what the Word says. I hope this sticks. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Look what he did for us. Blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us. Everything that the enemy had against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. Glory to God. Having spoiled principalities and powers, every power of the enemy, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When he took our rotten fruit and rotten trees to the cross, listen to me, he destroyed the very power of the enemy that's had you in bondage. And listen, you don't have to be in bondage anymore. Give the Lord a hand. You can be set free. You no longer have to be like the fig tree that Jesus cursed that time. He cursed a fig tree, and Peter said it was withering away. And Jesus himself became cursed on that cross so we could be blessed. One more scripture, Ashley, Galatians for me, 3. And we're going to close with this. And Galatians 3, 13 and 14. I love this passage of scripture. One of the most powerful passages of scripture in the Bible. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Look here. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. There's that word tree again. And why did he do that? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He became that nasty fruit, he became all that on the tree so we could be set free. He died so we could live. All we've got to do is do what the Word says. Father, we're so thankful this morning for your Word. And Lord, I want to thank you that you watch over your Word to perform it. And I know I went a little long today, Lord, but I had to get this out. And I just pray, God, that this message did not fall on deaf ears. If one person gets serious with you, you'll get serious with them. And Lord, I just release a blessing on those watching by live stream, those down the hallway. Lord, those in the sanctuary, I ask that you bless them. God, allow them to experience the abundant life that you died on that cross for them to experience. And we're careful to give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.